Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in a third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional nature of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, I am strong." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I had a plan. I had a timeline. I had an expectation. I knew how it was all going to play out because I'd planned it carefully. I went into all the details that I just never feel any good at because I knew it would be important to make a plan and to set a goal. Many of you may recall that last fall, I took 3 months off as a renewal leave. It was a wonderful leave, and there were a number of things that we did. Kimmy insisted that we travel, and so we did. We didn't go to some of the same places you went to in Europe, but we did go to Europe. We visited London and Paris and Barcelona. But as we sort of looked toward that period of time, and Kimmy would come up with a grand idea of something to do, it became almost this humorous response. Okay, I want to do that, but I also want to focus on my music project. You see, you may also recall that part of what I wanted to do during those 3 months off was to work on a music project. Music is something that soothes my soul. It gives me life when sometimes the world can feel like it shuts that out. And so many of you know that my plan has been to record and release a 6-song EP. And I will tell you that over the course of those 3 months, I got all my recording done. And I planned out what would happen in addition to that. A friend of mine, a longtime friend of mine, we used to work together a very long time ago at Six Flags Magic Mountain. He's now a Southwest Airlines pilot, but he's also a very gifted percussionist. He's a drummer. He's centered in the Las Vegas area because of who he flies for and works for, and so I sent everything to him, and he recorded multi-track drums for 5 of the 6 tracks. I say 5 of the 6 because there's one track that just doesn't have any percussion. It's just piano and vocals, just that one. So he went through and recorded all the drum tracks. And, you know, I'd listen to them, and sometimes I'd say, hey, you know, could you do something a little different here? Or, hey, I really like what you did here, and I actually wonder if you can do more of that. And so we went through all these processes. And so that part got done. His name's Chris, by the way. Chris got that done. See, I have another friend. His name is Mikey. I call him Mikey. Most people call him Mike. He and I went, we were in the high school band together. He's a remarkably good bass player. He is in the Seattle music scene. And so Mikey said, listen, I think maybe as you are in this recording process, maybe you need another set of ears. You see, if you know anything about music recording, there's the recording process, but that's separate from a mixing process, and that's separate from a mastering process. Mikey said, I think you need another set of ears for this mixing and mastering part. And I thought he was right. So as I planned and as I got into those details, I had expectations about the timeline. In fact, I had already planned to hold a release party here at the church over in Memorial Hall where we could talk about the songs and listen to how they came out. But they're not done yet. Now, please don't hear that as any blame for anyone, other than maybe some blame for me just on having some unreasonable expectations. Because for me, for Chris, for Mikey, life happened. Circumstances interrupted the workflow. And I had to adjust. And in that adjustment, I had to be humble and realize that the things that I had planned were not the way things needed to work out. I will tell you, by the way, that the very first song, it's a song called Where Are You, is now completely done. Mixed and everything. There's another song called Holy Spirit, Breathe on Me. That one's almost done. Interestingly, there is one single drum hit that was off. We had to go back and fix it. It's amazing what you can do with technology these days, by the way. But another one that was really hard, see, there's a song, and I mentioned earlier that there's a song with no drums. It's just piano and vocal. It's a very bare song. I didn't write this particular song. I think you've heard me sing it. I think I've sung it on that piano. It's called Give Me Jesus. And it's intended to be a song that is vulnerable. And I will tell you, of all the songs, all six songs in the EP, that has been the most difficult. Because listen, when there is a recording... So first of all, most of us don't even know what our voice sounds like recorded, and when we hear it, we don't like it. But when you have to go back and listen to details and realize, oh my gosh, about half the song I sang out of tune, some of you folks will really get that. But also knowing some of the digital tools that are out there to help you sort of tweak the tuning a little bit, that's pretty nice. But it's still been a bit of humility to realize that the expectation, the plans that I had made were not what I wanted them to be, and I've had to face that and wrestle with it and sit in that space of vulnerability. I would suggest that our culture doesn't necessarily value vulnerability quite as much as it values unending, unwavering confidence. When we look at the world, when we look at people we know, don't we naturally have a way of valuing that person that we know in our lives who's just so confident? They might be good at all kinds of things, but really, it doesn't matter whether or not they're good at those things if they express that kind of confidence. We find ourselves drawn to folks like that, don't we? And maybe that's just in interpersonal relationships. Maybe it's, you know, when we're looking at or towards leaders and leadership. We want someone who has an air of, you know, expressing that confidence, of expressing this sense of, I know what to do. Even when it's not all looking great, I know what to do. There are a couple of different kinds of leaders that I've been able to observe. And, you know, there's lots of variety among these, and there's lots of in-between, and there's lots of totally different. But there are two particular categories that often stand out to me. And some are the leaders who always know everything and always have the right answer. Just ask them. They'll tell you they're always right. The kind of leader who can sometimes be abrupt, blunt, sometimes hurtful. The kind of leader who says, I know it right every time, all the time. Don't question me. I'm always right. I'm always the winner. I'm always the best. I hope it's clear that I'm not that kind of leader. I don't think I'm that kind of leader. I don't know if I'm quite this other kind of leader either. I probably fall somewhere in between, because there's that kind of leader who leads with quiet confidence. That person who has a tendency to draw exactly the right thing out of a group conversation. Sometimes where the response to a particular issue is exactly what that quiet leader thought it should be, and sometimes that quiet leader can step out of the way and let something even better come out of those collaborative conversations. Those are the kinds of leaders who I observe as the people who always surround themselves with people smarter than them. At least that's how they'd say it. I try to be that kind of leader. I don't know if I always make it, but I try to be that kind of leader. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I have the privilege of serving as our annual conference secretary. And there are times that people are wonderfully affirming. I cherish words of affirmation. There are folks who are wonderfully affirming who say, wow, you know, I just really appreciate all the work you're doing as the conference secretary. And I try every single time to respond with, it takes a whole team of us to do this good work. And I try to surround myself with people who are better and smarter than me at this work. And sometimes there are people who are upset. We got to manage those things as well. And as we've been looking 2 weeks ago and now today at Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, like, Paul sometimes seems like that kind of leader who's in between those two. Like, sometimes Paul really asserts himself, and sometimes Paul draws himself back. And particularly today's text, Paul seems to draw himself back. Now, you may recall that the letter to the church in Corinth, Paul has spent some time away from this congregation. And during that time away, there have been other leaders, those super assertive leaders. I think Paul notes them, well, the English translation is super apostles. Those kinds of people who have come into that church in Corinth and say, we know the better way, we know the right way, everything that we say is exactly right, and you got to do what we say, we're always right, just ask us, we'll tell you. And Paul's been struggling. Because even in that time, people are drawn to that kind of confidence. And Paul walks a really interesting line, and I'm sure you heard it as Deborah read this morning. He walks a really interesting line of talking about, listen, I don't want to boast, but I kind of got it figured out. Do you know those people? I don't want to brag, but. And Paul seems to walk that line. But he walks it in a pretty effective way, doesn't he? Paul says, I don't want to boast. I don't want to brag. But instead of saying, but I'm kind of amazing, instead, Paul says, I don't want to boast. I don't want to brag. Because I'm actually not all that. I mess it up from time to time. I don't get it right all the time. Just ask me, I'll tell you. But in those times when I don't get it right, in those times when there's an emptiness, a lacking, One of the things that can do, Paul reminds us, is leave room for God. For God to step in. For God to fill in those empty spaces. For God to provide that leadership. In a way, Paul is the one who shows up in the end zone after a hard-fought touchdown, and instead of saying, look at me, points to the sky. You know some of those athletes who do that. But it's hard for us. It's hard for us in a world that values that kind of confidence, that values that kind of assertiveness, to say, friends, it's not about me. I believe in a God who fills in the empty spaces, who lifts us up when we can't figure out what to do next. I confess, friends, that part of why this message resonates for me today, as I begin my fifth year with you all, it's because I wish that I were a better leader in terms of helping us to have more people here in church on Sunday morning, to have more events perhaps during the week that might welcome the community. I'm struggling. But Paul reminds me, and I hope you hear it as well, that we're not on this journey alone. And that in acknowledging weakness and failure, we leave room for God to do God's good work. And we remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. There's a prayer that I have. It's artistically drawn out. It was a gift from a friend of mine that I had framed. I keep it up on my office wall. If you're someone who sort of regularly watches our weekly videos and the email that goes out each week, you may remember that I talked about this a number of months ago. It's known as the Sacristy Prayer of Martin Luther. It's really a gorgeous print. It's very artistic. It's wonderful. It reads in this way, and I've asked Cam to put it up on the screen as well. It says, Lord God, you have appointed me as a pastor in your church, but you see how unsuited I am to meet so great and difficult a task. If I had lacked your help, I would have ruined everything long ago. Therefore, I call upon you. I wish to devote my mouth and my heart to you. I shall teach the people. I myself will learn and ponder diligently upon your word. Use me as your instrument, but do not forsake me. For if ever I should be on my own, I would easily wreck it all. When we fill ourselves with our own bravado, when we fill ourselves with our own ego, we do not leave room for God. When we empty ourselves, not unlike the way Paul talks about a God who empties God's self into Christ, when we empty ourselves and follow that humble example, we leave more room for God's good work. Friends, we have work to do. Let us empty ourselves of our bravado and our egos so that God might work in us and through us to do God's good work. Amen.